Sri Radha Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 8, entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, Text 53. Shri Kim Purusha Uchuhu. Vayam Kim Purushastvam Tu. Vayam Kim Purushastvam Tu. Mahapurusha Ishvaraha. Mahapurusha Ishvaraha. Ayam Kupurusho Nashto. Ayam Kupurusho Nashto. Dhikrita Sadhu Bhiryada. Dhikrita Sadhu Bhiryada. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka said, "We are insignificant living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you?" When this demon was condemned by devotees, because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. Purport. The cause of the Supreme Lord's appearance upon this earth is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.7 and 8 by the Lord Himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sajamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadishkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decrease in religious principles and a predominant rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord appears in order to execute two kinds of activities, to kill the demons and to protect the devotees. When the devotees are too disturbed by the demons, the Lord certainly appears in different incarnations to give the devotee protection. The devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj should not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees. Rather, they should stick to the principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. The inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka said, "We are insignificant living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you?" And this demon was condemned by devotees because they were disgusted with him. He was then killed by you. Once Tejas Prabhu, he was here And he was mentioning that while in Delhi, when he was taking care or trying to serve there, Prabhupada had come and he used two sentences that he remembered very distinctly. He said, Bhagwan Mahan hai aur hum tuchh hai. He said, the way he said that word tuchh made you realize how insignificant we are. He said, I didn't understand Hindi, but I could understand that tuchh is really insignificant. So the inhabitants of Kimpurusha are saying the same thing. They're talking about Purusha. Kupurusha, Kimpurusha, Mahapurusha. So this is all about Purusha. Who is the Mahapurusha? Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravind. So they're talking about the real Purusha, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there is Kupurusha, who is not a Purusha, but who is acting like a Purusha. And then Kim Purusha, insignificant. Prabhupada translates Kim Purusha as the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka or insignificant living entities. Kim Purusha, are we really Purusha? Are we really devotees? Are we really servants? In the previous verse also, they were talking about yaksha, which servants. They were trying to serve, but they were disturbed. And Hiranyakashipu had used them as palanquin carriers. They were very good servants. They were used in his service. So that is the disease. And to remove that disease, the Lord comes. When there is a misconception about Kim Purusha, Mahapurusha and Kupurusha, and there is confusion, hazy environment, then either the Lord comes or a powerful personality comes to establish and set things in order. Today is also appearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He also appeared when there were, in the name of spirituality, people were trying to become Purushas or enjoyers. Or some who thought themselves to be the controllers of this whole empire. So there were the Britishers who were thinking themselves to be the controllers of this empire. And then there were the Sahajiyas, the so-called followers of Mahaprabhu, who thought that they were devotees, but actually were trying to be enjoyers again. So that was the main disease. Dharmasya glani means this. The dharma of the living entity is to serve the Lord, actually. That is the constitutional, natural position of the living entity. That is dharma. To serve the Purusha as an eternal servant. The nature of the constitutional nature or position of the living entity, Jivir Swarup. Swarup means its natural constitutional position. Krishna Das, Nitya, Krishnera Nitya Das, eternally the servant of the Lord. So this is the disease, that when a person thinks himself to be a Purusha, grossly, subtly, in the materially or spiritually, whatever, but the desire to lord it over, to control, to manipulate, to exploit, is the root cause of degradation. And then the Lord appears and there is a very hazy atmosphere. He clears everything. What is what? Makes it very clear. Who is the real Purusha? Who was Kupurusha? He's torn apart. And the insignificant living entity who is sincerely trying to serve is glorified. The Lord glorifies those who are actually serving but who are misunderstood by the whole world. Like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Kolaveca Sridhar. Nobody knew, even devotee circle didn't know who was Sridhar. Mahaprabhu had to, when he said, call Sridhar, they didn't even know who Sridhar was. Then he had to tell, go in the market, whoever is shouting loudly, call. He is Sridhar. So he glorifies Prahlad Maharaj, somewhere unknown, 5-year-old boy, under very, very demoniac condition, trying to do his best to serve the Lord. But then the Lord glorified him. When the Lord recognizes someone, then he becomes recognized by everyone in the kingdom of God. And that means the whole creation. Eternally famous. And when the Lord chastises someone, till then somebody may be thinking that he's a very great personality. He's a worshipable person. But when the Lord chastises someone, then he sets the standard. This activity, this consciousness, this attitude, this nature is adharma. Vinashaya chadushkritam. He not only chastises that person, but clearly establishes for all time to come what nature, what attitude, what activity is considered abominable. It's not dharma. And seemingly insignificant, somebody is serving, but that particular nature, that particular quality, that particular attitude, that particular activity is brought up. And that is what Bhagavatam is all about, actually. Bhagavatam, again and again, repeatedly, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, in all the different ages, millenniums, when the Lord appeared, he does the same thing and gives full assurance to the future followers. Don't be afraid. These kind of situations may arise. They take up, especially we find here, how Hiranyakashipu was actually a big headache or a fever in the head of practically the whole universe. Hare Krishna. How he was actually a big headache for everyone in the universe. And practically nobody knew. They thought that they would have to live with him eternally. They were actually gradually getting adjusted to the fact that we have to live with it now. Always in terror. Always in anxiety. Extreme anxiety. But within a few hours, immediate relief. Immediate relief. We find sometimes some particular problem absorbs our consciousness. Some person or some situation or whatever, very, very forceful, negative situation completely absorbs, and we think that it is impossible under any circumstance to remove this. And tremendously in pressure, and somehow by the Lord's mercy, at the right time, it just disappears. And suddenly you feel, I never thought it could ever happen. So easily, so effortlessly. And the Lord removes it. Same situation, the devotees in Nadia were facing due to rule of Hussein Shah under the Qazi, who was creating such a disturbance and such a fear. He had actually stopped all Harinam, broken the Mridanga, and everyone was fearful. On one hand was the Lord's order, and on the other hand there was this great fear. Prabhupada writes the lesson to be learnt. The purport gives always a truth which was millions of years ago, of an activity, a shloka which refers to an activity millions of years ago, and the substance of that shloka is brought to us in a most practical and applicable way in an unbroken chain of disciplic succession. That is parampara. What is its relevance to us? So Prabhupada says, the devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj should not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees. It will always be there. They always seem so powerful, absolutely unconquerable. What hope we have. We are so few. We are so insignificant. We have no physical strength. We have no intellectual strength. We have no power or influence. Everyone, practically the whole universe, everyone was saying that we were absolutely insignificant in compared to Hiranyakashipu. And always we find this situation that sometimes it is little more or less, but most of the time it is the power in the in terms of the media, in terms of finance, in terms of influence. It is always with powers. Generally it's demoniac, especially in Kali Yuga. And the more we hear of the activities, the more there is hopelessness that develops in our heart. So the devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj should not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees. Rather, they should stick to their principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. This is the lesson that we learn from this particular series of chapters in the 7th canto. Right under the nose of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj was peacefully performing devotional service and preaching to his ability, knowing fully well that I have absolutely no hope against this powerful personality. But he just went on. Rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. That is the power or the potency of devotional service, because the Lord is behind this. That conviction is what made Sanjaya say, even before the first arrow was shot, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvanitir Matir Mama. So that fear of the Kazi, fear of the stoppage of Harinam Sankirtan, was finished in one day by Mahaprabhu. He just told, in the early morning, he just declared, all of you, take your lunch, prepare huge torches and come. Come in the evening. Mahaprabhu had such influence, Nimai had such influence that literally billions and billions of people came willingly just to please Nimai Pandit. This was his influence. Today, political people call for a band or a rally. And they know they can't gather enough people, so they have to pay some people and from villages bring some trucks just to sit and clap for them, just to show that or a strength of number. But Mahaprabhu just told, tell that afternoon everyone should make torches and bring. In the evening, we'll go for Harinam. We'll go for Harinam. First time we will do this Harinam. Public. That was the first public Harinam Sankirtan. Prem Sankirtan. On the streets. Till then, for 1 year, the pious people were miserable. their feeling, how fallen we are, that we are not able to get entry into Mahaprabhu's night kirtan. Whole night the kirtan goes on. And the others somehow tried to go inside, they couldn't, and they started blaspheming and criticizing. So except for the few intimate associates, no one had this. Mahaprabhu announced, tomorrow we'll do it. And that afternoon, it is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, no one could ever count the number. Arbuda, arbuda loka. Sometimes we devotees have that tendency to exaggerate. Janmashtami, how many came? Easily 80,000. It's a natural, it's not exaggerating, but it's just natural. Devotees, when they see more number, they feel, ooh, hundreds of people are coming. It's natural. But here it says, please do not think that I am just exaggerating. As sentimental, with good sentiments people may do. It says, actually it is like that. Billions and billions and billions of people were there. And not one torch. The father would make his own torch. Son would make his own torch. Additional torches. Everyone made quite enough torches. And when it was lighted up, people would wonder whether the sun had risen in this evening. As they were going for Harinam, Mahaprabhu divided the whole group into so many groups. He said, Atvaitacharya, you be here. Haridas Thakur, you be here. Shivas Thakur, you be there. Suddenly Nityananda Prabhu said, Prabhu, without you, I won't dance. I mean, you are my life and soul. I will stay with you only. I will not go in. Mahaprabhu laughed and says, all right, you can be with me. So in this way, he made many groups. And he started the kirtan. First Sankirtan. And people went mad in this kirtan. And then, at the right time, suitable time, the kirtan started moving into the streets. And when it was dark, almost like twilight, suddenly at one indication, all the torches went light up. And then we see, there's a beautiful description, pages after pages of this beautiful Sankirtan. People forgot everything. Everyone joined. Everyone joined. Their heart's aspiration was fulfilled. And then Mahaprabhu went and went to the house of Kazi. And not only Kazi assured him that no more of stopping, but he says, my future generation will never stop. Ever. In one day, it was all done. And next day, the Sankirtan movement was fully established. We find in Srila Prabhupada's thing, here, right in Bombay, one person, really demoniac, trying to stop the construction of Radha Ras Bihari Mandir, creating so much problem, so much trouble, cheating, outright cheating, trying to exploit. And it says here, the Kim Purushas are saying, when this demon was condemned by devotees because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. They condemned him, they were disgusting. Devotees were disgusted. Srila Prabhupada was also disgusted with this person. How can he be so demoniac? We have paid the money. And then it went on and on. It was a headache, actually a headache. Prabhupada and all the disciples, how will they ever? And then one morning, everything is finished. Construction started. Went on a little for some more time and then finished. So, we should not be disturbed by the demonic activities of non-devotees. Rather, we should stick to they should stick to their principle as sincere servants of the Lord. Serving the Lord, serving the Supreme Lord, actually, being the servant is a natural constitutional position of every living entity. But the problem is we don't know how to serve. Three things. When serving is there, somebody says, I'm serving. First of all, they ask, which company? That's the first question they ask. Whom are you serving? The second thing they ask is, how much you get payment? And the third thing is, how many days off or whatever. So similarly, serving, if you say, the moment you say servants, the first question is, whom are you serving? Why are you serving? And under what circumstances or what situation you want to serve? Because only by serving can a person become happy and satisfied. True happiness is in serving. But under illusion, a person thinks that by serving my own senses or myself, I'll become happy. But actually serving others makes a person really happy. Satisfied. The question was asked by the sages of Naimisharanya. Yayatma suprasidati. Yenatma suprasidati. How? What should a person do to find true happiness? Happiness comes from satisfaction. When you are satisfied, you are peaceful. And when you are peaceful, you can be happy. It is a basic criteria for becoming. A happy person cannot be disturbed. You have to be peaceful before happiness. A neutral point is peaceful. Then starts positive. You can't positive without the neutral being there. And peace comes by satisfaction. So, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. As long as this desire is there, then it is ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta. You cannot be have a burning desire for enjoying and being the purusha and still be happy. It is impossible to be in your artificial position as a purusha and be happy. Hiranyakashipu tried this. He was a superman. In this sense. Really. The real superman. No comic stories. From all practical point of view. He had taken away all the powers. He could do anything practically. But he didn't know there is a real superman. Who is a real superman? And when he appeared, he realized how insignificant he was. So, the question is asked. And then, the six questions that the sages asked at Naimisharanya. There was only one question, basically. The underlying question was only one. How can people become happy? That was underlying. How can these miseries in Kali Yuga be removed? And the answer was this. Savai pumsam paro dharmo. Krishna comes to establish dharma. And what is that dharma? Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje. Dharma means the natural constitutional position. Yato bhaktir, bhakti means devotion service, adhokshaje. So firstly, it should be to the supreme person. So knowledge of who is the best person to serve. We are all servants. Either serving, as Prabhupada says, either you are serving your senses, or you are serving your family, or you are serving your community, or you are serving your nation, or you are serving humanity. You have to serve. Inevitable. But yato bhaktir adhokshaje. And, but, that is the first thing. The second thing is, ahaituki. Why are we serving? For what? And to the extent that service is selfless, that means not expecting but pleasing the person being served, to that extent, suprasidati, you can find satisfaction. And apratihata. Apratihata means that's basically detachment. Apratihata means non-stop. Why do we stop? Because we have so many masters. We serve this master, then you say stop. I go to serve another master. Then I serve another master. You can't be Goswami and Godas, or Krishna Das and Godas. You can't serve two masters. Either you are Krishna Das or you are Godas. Otherwise you have to serve. For some time, then for some time. If it's 24 hours a day, then you have to be exclusively Krishnadas. No other than. Everything else is subordinate. Every other service is in alignment with that service. And anything else is removed. That's the difference between Karmakanda and Bhakti Yoga. Karmakanda also is according to Vedic scriptures, and Bhakti Yoga is also Vedic, according to Vedic scriptures. But from Karmakanda to Bhakti, there is a gradual shift. In Karmakanda, serving the Lord is one of the items of devotional service. Early morning, you should serve the Lord also. Then you should serve this and thus, this and that and everything. And then there are so many other activities which are not conducive to devotional service. Non-devotional principles are also there in Karmakanda. Worshipping so many demigods, some kind of sacrifices of animals, and so many other, too many time-consuming activities. But from Karmakanda, when it gradually goes to devotional service, anything that is unfavorable gradually reduces. All this worship of so many demigods gradually reduce. Knowing fully well that by if you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. So many sacrifices. I remember one of our devotees, his father's death, after death, 13th day or something, they had to feed flesh to the pitris somewhere. So that is the community that they come from. They had to serve flesh to the forefathers. So he said, impossible. Hey, what is this? That's a tradition. So whatever is the tradition, impossible. I won't. Let my father go to hell. I don't care. According to your calculation, he'll go to hell. But I feel by feeding flesh, he will go to hell. That means taking another body. And he refused. He refused totally. There's a big fight at home. All the relatives, most of them were actually non-devotees. You have to feed flesh. And he said, absolutely not. I am the son. The mother was neutral, luckily. Otherwise, she would have the veto power. She said, my husband, whatever I want. Mother was neutral. He says, all right. The son says this, okay. All the relatives on one side. And that day evening, somehow it was done. The son was very insistent. And it was done. They fed vegetarian food to the father. And then at night, one of the sisters of the father, she is also on their side, that father should be fed meat or whatever. But she was haunted. And she spoke exactly in the voice of the father. Right in the middle of the night, all the relatives were sleeping in the house. And she woke up and everyone came and she started speaking in the voice of the father. And he said, whatever this son has done is perfect. All of you should understand. I am fully satisfied. And then she went to sleep. She doesn't know what happened. She went to sleep. So, on one hand, the negative things gradually stop reducing. Then comes time-consuming things. In Varnashram, there are so many duties. They're too much time-consuming. You have to do this and this and this. But not artificially. Gradually, more and more the time is consumed in devotional activities. All other rituals gradually are removed. And those which are essential things, taking care of the body, taking care of the family, they also eventually become subordinate to the principle of devotional service. So that is the natural process of purification, of apratihata. So then every activity is actually devotional service. It is actually devotional. It is not karmakanda anymore. Taking care of the body is not, just like yesterday we were discussing in Brahmacharya, taking bath. Taking bath is a burden. You want to go to the office and quickly, as much as possible, as quickly as possible, you just do the needful to freshen up and then go to the office. So going to the office is the real business. Because there you earn money. And this is just the, you have to do.
But in devotional activities, even taking bath is a devotional activity. I have to present myself in a clean and nice way in front of the Lord. So this is devotion. So 24, even sleeping is devotional service. Because if I don't sleep, I can't serve tomorrow. I'll be inattentive when I'm serving. So therefore, not to sleep too much, not to sleep too less. Even that is actually devotion. Because we have to be alert. A good servant has to be alert 24 hours. So to remain alert throughout the waking time, whatever is necessary, whatever sleep is necessary, has to be taken. Whatever food is necessary must be taken. To maintain continuity in devotional service, a peaceful atmosphere at home, basic needs are met. So whatever is necessary must be done. So those activities also actually become devotion. That is apratihata. And ahaituki, that is further purification during anartha nivritti. The more and more we start performing devotional service, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayati Ashu, Vairagyam and Jnanam. Vairagya means anything not conducive to Krishna consciousness gradually reduces and becomes, whatever essential becomes subordinate to devotional principle. And Vairagyam. And Jnanam means more and more as to who is to be pleased. For whose pleasure am I doing? Am I doing it for my pleasure? Or am I doing it for Krishna's pleasure? That is knowledge. Shraddha shabde vishwas kohe sudrida nishchay. Krishna bhakti kohele sarva karma krita hai. All these activities are ultimately, if it is not pleasing to Krishna, shramaye vahi kevalam. It is a waste of labor. It is not actually going to be beneficial. So, savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktira dokshaje. So this doubt goes away. The more we perform devotional service, the doubt or the ignorance goes away. And more we can feel the presence of, yes, Krishna is being pleased. And what is the proof? If Krishna is pleased, automatically you will be satisfied. You will be happy. You feel blissful. Because we are part of Krishna. When the Lord is pleased, you feel blissful. Otherwise, there is something, you're not fully satisfied. There is always some kind of negativities in our heart. That means we are disturbed because there is a desire, and if that desire is not properly fulfilled, then they are disturbed, or we are hankering or lamentation, basically. Some lamentation, I did this, or hankering for something. My desire is in point of view. But otherwise, if you have actually done something to please the Lord, then a person has no lamentation. I did at that time what I thought was the best. Finished. And there is no hankering. As we were discussing on Radhashtami, I came across this very nice four-liner. Past is a history. Future is a mystery. Focusing on present is secret to victory. Na shochati na kaangshati. Brahma bhuta prasannatma. He lives in the present. Of course, he plans for the future, but he doesn't daydream, that's all. The difference between a daydreamer and a visionary, he doesn't remain dreaming. He gets up and does something. Prabhupada was sitting in the park and thinking that, you know, I told that conductor, there will be devotees, there will be temples, there will be this. It looked like he was daydreaming, sitting there. But no, there was practical activity to support that dream to come true. Well, daydreaming means simply thinking of the future and lamenting for what I don't have to achieve that. So, ahaituki, the more knowledge comes, the more these kind of activities which are geared towards subtle or grossly what's in it for me, that kind of activity goes away.
and apratihata. So, so this doubt and some kind of expectation, and the third is apratihata, and the opposite of that is complacency or kind of laziness. A devotee, as he advances, you find doubts clear, and pleasing the Lord and pleasing the devotees becomes the more focus rather than pleasing the self. And the third thing is the complacency goes away, that laziness goes away. On a stage of bhava, avyartha kalatvam, even a moment lost, if a person feels very, very miserable that, oh, this much time was gone. That's actually on the platform of the soul. Because other things are connected to the body. Ignorance means arising from the body. Selfishness means what's in it for me. That means this body, satisfaction of the body, mind or ego. And laziness is also basically due to bodily concept of life. The more and more moving towards spiritual, sat, chit and ananda. Whereas the other one is asat, the disease condition. Asat means temporary. Achit, it's ignorance, rising from ignorance. And nirananda, that means it leads to misery ultimately, not happy. Hare Krishna. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur established it so beautifully, so wonderfully. While, just like Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu told Prahlad, Prahlad, we demons are like a sandalwood forest. And you rascal, you are using the axe of Vishnu and the handle. You are becoming the thorn tree. You are the thorn tree. The stem of which is used as a handle, because the thorn tree has a very stiff wood. So they use it as a handle to cut the whole sandalwood tree. So he was using it in a negative sense. But we can glorify Bhaktivinoda Thakur like that. He was in the British government, under the British, in India during the British government, who considered themselves as sandalwood trees, deliverers of the people who are totally worshippers of trees and animals, etc. That's how at least they wanted to convince the people. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right there, under their own situation, became a good handle and took the axe of Mahaprabhu's teachings to destroy at the very root all kinds of philosophies which is born in bewilderment. In a bewildered state, whatever philosophy you give is all bewilderment ultimately. And Mahaprabhu's philosophy was so powerfully presented, just as the six Goswamis had presented a few centuries ago. Therefore, he is called the seventh Goswami. He put the seed which grew. Just like, you know, in Diwali you have this rocket, huge, not rockets, there's a huge cylinder-like bombs. You just light them and then and it goes like this. Then this is destroyed. This is finished. And then it goes like this. And then it goes up and blows up into so beautiful, you know, so many sparkling things come. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like that. He just started something which later Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took it up. And then Srila Prabhupada actually manifested. The plan that Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually conceived and foresaw as a visionary and told, when will the day be when all these brothers from all over this planet will come together and glorify the crest jewel of all philosophies, real truth. And that was so his whole life was dedicated to
giving that vision, which was taken up by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and which was actually brought to fructification or fulfillment by Srila Prabhupada. So we know for sure that we are pleasing Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is his dream which came true because of this endeavor of devotees in the Paramparam. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. There are any questions we can take as there is no breakfast. Yes, Prabhuji. Gyanagamya Prabhu.
Krishna is protecting his devotees, but sometimes we see devotees are actually killed in action. In America, some devotees were delivering some goods by airplane after one hurricane, and they crashed. They died. And devotees die on Sankirtan sometimes. One devotee was put in prison in Russia. He died there. One Mataji died there. Like this. So how is it, if Krishna is protecting, that these things occur, that these happen?
Firstly, Krishna's promise of protection is not of the body, but of our devotion. So, if it may be that he may protect the body, if that's what is his plan, but or for his plan, if a devotee has to give up his body, a devotee is ready. So, consideration is not of the physical body, but of the devotion. The example is given of Jatayu. He actually died. So, how could Ram allow that? But actually, on that very same day, he went back home, back to Godhead. So, it is very, very incomplete to just or superficial to think that protection is my body or my money, because things may be taken away also. Yasya aham anugrihnami harishet adhanam. Anything that is inauspicious, he will take away. And he knows best. What he protects is our devotion. So even that shouldn't be a source of discouragement for us. As long as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita janma hao yatha tu yadas, bahirmukha brahma janme nahi morash. Even Jesus Christ, he was crucified. So seemingly it looks like, they told him, you rose people from the dead, why can't you save yourself? He said that the cup that the Lord gave. But he rose from the dead and got eternal life. That was his real victory. So similarly, some may be crucified, but from that starts the eternal life. That's my understanding. You'd like to add something to that? So, the protection is not whatever is actually marubi rakhubi jo ichha tohar nitya dasa prati tuva adhikar. That's a good servant. The servant says, my Lord, whatever way you want, you deal with me. Ashli Seva Padaratam Pinashtumam Adarsanan Marma Yathatathava. A real servant, that is unconditional. It's not that if you protect me, okay. If you protect my body, okay. Otherwise, what is this? So when a person actually feels insignificant, he says, I deserve to be have died millions of times. But then, so far I have remained, that itself is a great benediction. I don't deserve otherwise to be suffering more. So this is the consciousness, basically. So that consciousness is the real protection. If we can maintain this consciousness under any circumstance, then we should know. Like Gaurang Prabhu expressed yesterday, Vaman Dvadashi Kunti Maharani says, Janma Ishwarya Shuta Shribhir, Janma Ishwarya birth, etc. These are intoxicated. But somebody has all of this and still has devotion and humility, he should be considered specially blessed. Specially blessed. So in that sense, we accept it. So somebody in any other situation, happiness or distress, death, even birth or death, if a person maintains the attitude of service, that means he is already liberated. Because in a liberated state, you have achieved your mukti hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Mukti, real mukti means to be situated in one's constitutional position as servant, in death or in life. So if we have this understanding, then whatever best way, Krishna, you want me to use me as an instrument in your hands to please you and serve you. So some instrument may be disposed of and some instrument may be retained. Just like a doctor, you know, after surgery, some are disposed of, disposables, you know. They use it and they dispose. And some are recycled or they're cauterized and kept back. So like that, to perform the surgery of his plan, some may be disposed of, used and disposed of, and some may be used and kept. So whatever way, we want to be an instrument. Yes, Prabhuji. Krishnanam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. Just taking a cue from Jnanagamya Prabhu's question and your answer, sometimes we see devotees, you know, they practice Krishna consciousness for several years. And as is normally the case, they rise up to a particular position in devotional service. And then at that time, if Krishna smashes us, then that is, we are told theoretically that is the time when we are actually being put to a test. I mean, that's the time when really our Krishna consciousness is tested. So what sort of consciousness should be there? Because this is going to happen to all of us eventually, sometime or other. But what is the consciousness that all of us should have at that particular point of time?
When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days, there's a beautiful prayer he says. He says, my Lord, he asks for 3 things. He says, if I have to take birth again in this world, let me ask for 3 things. Let me have attraction for you, friendship, association of devotees, and friendly feeling to all living entities. This is what I ask. I don't care where you put me, in what situation you put me. Let these 3 be always there. Attraction for you. Association of your devotees. And friendly relation with every living entity. Friendly disposition. So, whether we are smashed or whether we are kept in that position, if this is our aspiration, and this is what we seek to have, then this shows that we accept the plan of the Lord. Otherwise, we have our own will, our own plan. Krishna, if you do this, then you are perfect, huh? Because I understand you are perfect. According to my calculation, you are perfect. But Krishna is perfect by his own way, not according to your plan. So you surrender to that will of the Lord. And in this situation, how can I maintain this attraction for the Lord and association? Of course, it's so easy to speak this. But our hope is when we falter, at least somebody else will speak this to us. So sometimes, you know, I speak very emphatically and I know that it is very theoretical. Sometimes when I'm preaching to someone, I see he's undergoing a very troublesome period and I'm saying this, though I myself am not really convinced. But still I'm saying this, hoping that when I go through, he will also tell me the same. We just need to remind each other. Prabhu, this is what's supposed to be the philosophy. You know? So, we just have to remind and try to somehow but at the same time, we can't simply speak philosophy. It will not carry any weight if it is not supported by practical, sincere, some kind of service. Also, from our side, we try to do our best. So somebody is sick, you may tell, Prabhu, you are not the body. But rather than speaking, our action should show you are not the body, but our action should also, you know, try to make sure that we try to do our, you know, bring that person to a more peaceful situation where he can pursue devotional service. So this is, yes, one last question. Ekalavya Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. Question is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had, as you said, yada yada hi dharmasya, he reestablished the religious principles of Lord Chaitanya. So how did Bhaktivinoda Thakur defeat those sahajas and reestablish those religious principles?
When you light up, darkness automatically goes away. That's all. What did he? He spoke the truth. When you speak the truth, anything that is untrue doesn't stand. You don't have to defeat them. You just have to tell. Just like when somebody would ask Prabhupada, what do you think about this person? We're not concerned about that person. What is his philosophy? You take the philosophy, you have a standard, measure it. This is it. Whatever philosophy, put it in the scale. You have a scale, you know, standard scale, Krishna scale. Then you have this philosopher scale, that scale. You bring the scale and compare it. Everyone can see. This is Krishna scale and this is your scale. Short, too long, too deviated, you decide. I didn't say it. I'm going to give you this scale. Here is, take it. And now, whatever conception you have or misconception you have, compare it. If it falls in line, okay, otherwise dispose it and accept this. So that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. And did whatever was necessary to establish it. Expose them. Everyone will be exposed. Once you put on the light in the darkness, the glowworms can shine and say, I am the lighting the whole world. But when the sun rises, nobody cares about glowworms. So when there's darkness, glowworms steal the show. So Bhagavatam is like the sun. Philosophy and the, what is that book, small book, the theology and philosophy of Bhagavatam, he published and he distributed. It's powerful. He just brought Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavat and standard. He took the searchlight, you know, he just brought the light out. Everyone was exposed. They went in, you know, their power was insignificant. Everyone could see. Everyone for what they are. We don't have to, you know, destroy this or do anything. Just educate people about the real thing. Automatically light their heart with the sunlight of Bhagavat. And then automatically anything which is falling short of the absolute will automatically just drift off. I mean, or just go away, fall off. So he just brought out the truth. We see any open-minded person. Otherwise, a stubborn person may still try to, you know, like he's drowning and still, you know, no. Caesar is the best way, or knife is the, you know, that story, like, it's like that. So unless the person is stubborn or closed-minded, that's up to them. But any open-minded person, just tell them the truth. And they're really sincere, they can see. They can make out. Of course, our activities also should be in alignment with it. Because our action speaks louder than our words also. So we may be speaking, but if we don't live according to those principles, then it may not be as effective. That's why he was the seventh Goswami. He lived like a lotus leaf. Whole world is, you know, fighting about this government and all that. But like Prahlad Maharaj, living right under the nose of the enemy and trying to do the needful, preaching. He showed how you could use your ability, facility, whatever you have, in not only, he was not hateful towards the British, he was not hateful towards anyone. He was hateful of anyone who was in ignorance, and used everything in his disposition to enlighten the Britishers, enlighten the so-called scholars of India, enlighten the so-called spiritualists, everyone in ignorance. He was trying to enlighten. He didn't discriminate. Others were fighting, British throw away. Bhaktisiddhanta took the same spirit. When Prabhupada came and said, no, first Britishers should go away, who will hear otherwise? He said, this fellow will come and that fellow will come. What will make a difference? The real thing is, everyone is asking for freedom. Freedom for what? In ignorance, you think freedom from British will give us real freedom. Now are you flying high? Britishers are gone 60 years. Many, many old people say, during British, at least everything was much in order. Now, if your own teeth is biting your tongue, who can you blame? Now, these people themselves are plunderers. They are plundering. Whom will you blame? You voted them. So earlier they were blaming the Britishers. Now they are blaming this. There is no end to this. Real freedom means freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So don't wait for this situation to come, that situation to come. He showed practical philosophy. Actual Gita in practice. This is Krishna's plan. You become an instrument. This is Mahaprabhu's plan. You become an instrument. Don't wait for this situation, that circumstance to be favorable. That is apratihata. Apratihata means no situation can stop your devotion. It can't postpone the devotion. Let things become all right, then I will perform devotional service. No. It is actually apratihata. Whether British are ruling, whether Nawab Hussain Shah was ruling, about this is ruling, the Qazi is telling, our devotion should go on. Our whole propaganda is against any nonsensical illusion, which is not the truth. So that was actual. He showed. He didn't waste his time unnecessarily fighting for, you know. Prahlad Maharaj told Chanda and Amarka the same thing. What are you teaching me? I'm not interested in all this. You know, diplomacy, this and this and this. That's what people were doing. The way how to throw them off. Waste their energy. They died. People died fighting the British. Wasted their human life. You do. Let some people fight. That is their job. You tell them how to fight. Arjuna was fighting. Krishna didn't stop him from fighting. All right, there are some people to fight. You fight. But in this process, mam anusmara yudhyacha. Don't get absorbed in that fighting. Otherwise, you will be born in Britain. Because you fight, you tired thinking of the Britishers, you will be born in Britain. According to law of Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhava. So we don't know. You fight, no problem. Fight British, fight this, whatever. Fight against illusion, fight against injustice. But fight for Krishna. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. You fight for Krishna. Fight against this, whatever. But for Krishna. Not for Indians, against this, or for this and for this. That's what Prahlad Maharaj criticized. Chanda and Amarka. Same thing, only the names are different. History simply repeats itself. He's fighting against this fellow, this fighting against. He says, what is this enemies and friends? These enemies and friends itself. That's why Parikshit Maharaj says, let me have friendly relation with everyone. We are inimical to illusion. We are enemies with illusion. We are enemies with all these kinds of negativities. Whoever is demoniac, we are against them. You know, amongst devotee circle, somebody shows inimical quality, we are against it. We'll fight for it. For Krishna, for his pleasure and satisfaction under his order. So that's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has presented. And in that line, we have got by our good fortune. This is Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Dai Gaur Premanandi.